Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Gospel of the Lord. Mercy is very much connected to relationship. How often did Jesus begin his teaching by talking about the Father? The Father is like this. The stories where the prodigal son and the forgiving father. He's establishing that this God that they have heard about, been preached to about, have been trying to worship as best they could, Jesus is saying that this transcendent God that you know, that you fear, that you worship, that you love, is very close to you. And his love for you is very tender. He called him Abba, which we translate as Father, but more properly translated as Daddy or Papa. Now remember, the Jewish people do not speak the name of the Lord. That's why the men wear one of the reasons why they wear the yarmulke, in case somebody says the name of the Lord. Sometimes we belt it out in our songs, you know, and they would not do that. The very name of the Lord is not to be uttered because he is so holy and so great. And this is true. But Jesus now is teaching us something else. Daddy. So you go from not even daring to name the name to now calling him Daddy, Papa. This was offensive to many of them. How dare you call him that? Who are you to call him that? But Jesus could not deny what he knew to be true. He and the Father are one. The love that he and the Father have in the Holy Spirit, in that unity, is one. He is the I Am. He is God. Two. This gospel reading is often used, as you, I'm sure, know, in funerals. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, which is a very beautiful thought. And I think often we don't grasp the deeper meaning of what Jesus is saying. Jesus had already called these people who followed him his disciples. It's quite a great honor to be a disciple of Jesus. It's what we all try to be. And then he called them friends. To be called a friend of the Lord. He's telling them now, you're more than my students. You're my friends. We are his friends. But now, in this gospel passage, he's telling us something else. In our culture, the idea of the extended family is not as common, and in many cases, not all that attractive. But in the culture that Jesus was in, when people got married, they continued to live with their family. And so in many cases, what they would do is they would add a room. Then they'd have some children and they'd add some more rooms. And then the children would marry and they'd add some more rooms. So the houses became quite large. They were excavating St. Peter's house about 10 years ago. Enormous. Room after room after room. And you say, this is what Jesus is saying. You're my family. You're my disciples. You're my friends. But more than that, you are family to me. And my love for you is eternal. And my Father and I love you so much, we're adding on rooms for you, so you can be with us forever. This is what he is saying. The mystery of love is a mystery that, it's good that I'm not good in math, you know. I work at MIT, but that just goes to show God has a sense of humor. I was okay in math as long as it was just X. But once they added Y, you know, now you have two variables, goodbye, right? I think I'll be a philosophy major. But you see, mathematics principally, at least the lower mathematics, deals by definition with finite things. But now love doesn't work that way. Love is something that is greater than that. Those of you who have children or have had children, you know, you cannot imagine how it would be possible to love anyone more than your child. And that's a great thing. And oftentimes people have this, and I've had people, my friends, you know, in college and things, say this to me, that they're afraid to have another child because how could I love that child? It's like all my love is already used up. You know, if you have three apples and you take two away, you have one apple. If you have X amount of love and you take some away, well, then there might not be enough left. But love doesn't work that way, does it? I can't say to you, well, it's after 7 o'clock, I've used up all my love for today. I'm done. The tank is empty. Or I can't say, you know what, I love the people on this side of the church. There's no love left over for you. We might function that way, but that's not the truth. Love is expansive. We don't use up our love. Our heart increases, and we're able to love more. So the person who has 6 children, or 8 children, or 12 children, can say, I love all of them. And as each one came, the love that I had for the others was not diminished. It's a mystery. It's a reflection of God, because doesn't John say, God is love? And that's true. And when we love, God is present. We are the family of God. We say that, but I'm not sure it really penetrates. We say, I am a child of God. I am a son of God. You are a daughter of God. We are the family of God. And yet the challenge for us is to grow in that knowledge And the challenge for us is to grow in living that reality. We call ourselves brothers and sisters. And we mean it, but what if we really, 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 however many reallys we have to say, internalize that? What if my brother was sleeping on the street tonight? What if my sister was homeless? When we look at the people that we can walk by in our life, when we walk over the needs in front of us, when we sometimes, through omission, or through carelessness, or sometimes through unforgiveness, can exclude people or ignore people. And then we have that challenge, well, if they're my brother or my sister, how great should be my concern? How true should be my love? How generous should be my response? Mercy cannot be an add-on. It can't be just something else. Okay, well, we did everything. Okay, well, let's sprinkle in some mercy. Mercy comes up from the foundation of who we are. When we love God, when we're immersed in His love, mercy comes from us. It comes through us. We almost can't help ourselves. It's not something that we plan necessarily to do. It's something that we become. This is the invitation that Jesus extends to us. Come, live in my mercy, live in my love, and give me permission to use you as an instrument to bring that mercy to others. It's such a great privilege to belong to God, to be His disciple, to be His friend, to be part of His family. And the best way that we can show our gratitude for such a gift is to extend ourselves in love to our brothers and sisters. The reward that awaits us if we're faithful is certainly beyond anything we can imagine and far beyond anything that we deserve. But because God is so generous in His love for us, we can trust Him when He promises you and me, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. We pray tonight that as we celebrate the richness and generosity of Jesus' love, that we will be immersed in that love and instruments of His grace to a world so desperately in need of His mercy.